Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and to build our faith to be acceptable unto your word, Father, as being the truth for mankind and the way that we should live. Now, Father, walk with us throughout the remainder of this service, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Still, on account of this dankness, I've got a little trouble with the drainage. I haven't got a cold or nothing. It just causes this drainage. But anyway, we'll be talking to you tonight in several different places, because it all, where we'll be, it all ties together to bring us to knowledge of how mankind is supposed to walk, and most don't. They hear the words with their ears, but they don't hear with the heart, and they don't accept them and take them in and actually bring them to life in their life. You know, and a lot of us, we do things that we shouldn't be doing. You see, that's why a lot of people don't like hearing my preaching. Because I'm going to let you know, when we do things that we are not supposed to be doing, and if I don't let you know that it's wrong, then your blood's on my hands. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, that ain't going to work. But you see, we hear things, but we don't heed those things. And it's going to cause a lot of us to miss heaven. to making heaven our home, and we actually believe that we're all right, that we've got it all made. But you see, we think that it's because it's us that it's all right. And I'm going to be getting on everybody here tonight. You'll take the least and hold on to it to use as an excuse to stay out of church. That's not going to work in God's eyes. There is a reason for church. There is a reason that we have a time and all that we can come together. Because we can all learn from one another, and we are all to love one another, and we are to be constantly in each other's prayers. So you see, when I tell you I'm going to get on you, I'm going to get on you just like I get on me. You'd be surprised how many times a week I get on me. As I study, then I'll find I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. Then I get on me, and I take that to the Lord. And I get forgiveness for that. And I ain't going to do it again. If it's wrong, and I find it out, I'm not going to do that again. A lot of people don't pay attention to that. Now, we're going to be starting out here in Luke. Chapter 4, and I'm going to be just giving you highlights for this, because we're going to be going to a place that's a lot stronger, but ties in with all of this. So in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, it says, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word. How many words do we forget that we don't live by them? Now, as this conversation is going on, this conversation is between the Lord Jesus and Satan. It's where Satan is taking him to tempt him. Here's verse 5. It says, the devil taketh him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, besides Satan just giving and tempting him, he's also lying to him. He lied to him there in verse 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. Satan don't have any power to give no one. All he's got is deception. And yet, he's telling Jesus that he could give him all that power. Jesus already got that power. Now, verse 9 says, And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give thee his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When he's out here doing these things that you've been told not to do in God's word, that's exactly what you're doing. You're tempting God. And we are not to do that. In doing it, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. Now, I'm going to drop down here to verse 18. And just as Jesus was making this proclamation, so should his ministers today be able to make this same proclamation. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. His ministers today should be able to make that same proclamation. Because just as I wasn't a minister because that's what I wanted to be. In fact, I had not given it a thought. Now, I do know that somewhere along the line, God, in his wisdom, had talked to my grandmother. She told my mother and dad, of course, it wasn't very encouraging, the word she used, because when I was just a youngster, I'm talking about real small youngster, just being able to walk. She told my mother and dad, she said, see his big feet? He'll be a preacher. All of my years, going up through my teen years, and even my young adult life, no. I never gave a thought about being a preacher, although I was raised in church. I did understand, even though, especially in my teen years, that some of the things I was being told in church wasn't making sense to me. I'd be sitting in my Sunday school class, and the teacher telling me there that I wasn't supposed to sin. Katie, you ain't supposed to get out here now and sin. Then I'd go out into the morning service. The preacher standing up there telling me that I couldn't live without sin in my life. How much sense did that make? One telling me I'm not supposed to sin, another telling me I can't live without it. But see, that was the time that the churches had started their downfall. And they was picking up things they should not have picked up. Now, I'm going to take you over here. Let's go to Acts. so we don't just say it without seeing it written. You all know it, because I preach on it quite a bit. But still, I want to use it because, like I say, we got to tie everything together. We don't want nothing out of context. What does it take of being Acts 2? What does it take for you to become a child of God? Acts 2, verse 38 tells us how to start. But now it's a start. Peter, when he come out of that upper room on the day of Pentecost, preached one of the greatest sermons recorded in the Bible. And he was pointing his finger at the very people he had been hiding from when Jesus entered Jerusalem. And they took him prisoner because he was afraid. Now he's standing there pointing a finger at them. And he's letting them know that they are the ones that crucified him. You see, if you talk to most Christians today that belong to these churches out here, ask them who crucified Jesus. No, I mean for you to do it sometime. When you're talking to somebody else that belongs to any of the churches out here, ask them who crucified Jesus. You know what they'll say? The Romans did. They didn't. His own did. Now, the Roman soldiers nailed him to that cross, but it was his own kept crying for him to be crucified until Pilate would do no different than to do what they wanted him to do. But it was his own. Now, when Peter come out of that upper room after Jesus was resurrected and went back to heaven, he sent back the Holy Spirit. You find that in Acts 1, where the Spirit came back. And, you know, it didn't come back quietly. A lot of people may think so, but it didn't. It came back as the sound of a rushing mighty wind in the form of cloven tongues of fire. How'd you like to see that coming at you? But that's what came at them on that day. When that was all over with, Peter come out and preached that sermon. At the end of that sermon here, we started at verse 35. Well, let's go to 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know that surely that God has made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now Peter's letting his own people know it was them that crucified him. Wasn't the Romans? It was them. But he goes on and says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I asked that question. What shall we do now to be saved? What must we do? Peter's answer, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent. That's the first thing that you have to do. You have to go to the Lord Jesus and repent of the sins you have committed and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They are no longer to be baptized by John's baptism. But John's baptism was for the time period of the Mosaic Law and up until the Lord Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Three things to become a child of God. And very, very few times will you ever find all three of them happen at the same time. Because mankind needs time to grow, and God knew that when he made the way. But now when we do that, and we have completed those things, what has happened to us? We're going to find that in John, the Gospel of John. Not First John, but the Gospel of John. In chapter 3. Give you a minute to get there. All right. There in chapter 3, we're going to find Jesus talking to a man named Nicodemus. Well, that's first verse of chapter 3. Well, we're going to be dealing with probably all 21 verses. Now, it says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He's a ruler now. In other words, he's a man of some esteem. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You see, Nicodemus doesn't have the knowledge and the acceptance of Jesus actually being the Son of God. To him at this time, he's a rabbi, a preacher, or a teacher. You see, when we talk about preachers and rabbis, you should be talking about men that are teachers. Because that's what the title means. Rabbi and minister both means teacher. And that's what we are called to do. The most today are getting up and they're putting on shows instead of teaching. They want to run back and forth across the stage, stand and jump up and down, holler and cry and carry on to make a show and tell you That's the way the Holy Spirit has them doing. But what they need to be doing is sitting down with God's Word and teaching it, not putting on a show. Now, here in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, when you see this sign, verily, verily, anytime you see that in the verse, pay attention, because that's what it means. Verily, verily means amen, amen, or so be it. That's what them two words mean. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except you are born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. Now, how do you get that way? How do you get born again? By doing exactly what we read about in Luke, in Acts 2:38. Repent, baptized in Jesus' name, and then you seek that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because you're not truly born again until you have that Holy Spirit also. Now, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Here we go again. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, once again, we're being reminded to be that born again. He's telling us. But let me show you what man will do to things. Here in this book, it's supposed to be a teacher's guide. Share something with you. When we look down here at this, we find what it gets for born again. And here's what it gets. May be translated either again or from above. Perhaps both ideas should be combined here to indicate the repetition of an act from another source. Now, he goes on and says, born of the water. This Bible gives that born of the water implies your natural physical birth. Since spirit refers to supernatural spiritual birth. In other words, he's saying that because you came from your mother's womb, because it's a fluid. You've got that embodied fluid. Let me tell you something. That embodied fluid is not just water. And that's not what this word is talking about. Because he's told you. And he tells us that we are to be baptized in Jesus' name. That is to be done in water. Because it's done for several things. Because you are to know what is happening to you at the time that you're baptized. You're putting on the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. You find that in the 6th chapter of Romans. and of the Spirit. So you are to be baptized in Jesus' name and also of the Spirit. That's when you will receive the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. It takes both of them for you to actually be born again. And you're not truly born again until you have that Holy Spirit. And what does that do for you? What does having the Holy Spirit actually do for you? Have you really thought about that? Well, let's see. So like I say, let's keep things tied together. Now, when you are baptized by the Holy Spirit, this is what God's Word will tell you. You'll find that in 1 John, chapter 3. And I'm going to start back a little before I get to where I want to go, because we want to keep everything in context. That way, you don't get what man wants to say. You're getting what the Word of God says. In verse chapter 3, verse 3, and every man that has this hope in him, this hope of being a child of God in him, purifies himself even as he is pure. You've got to be purified. Whosoever committeth sin transgress also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. We're being told twice, sir, just real quick, that you're not to sin. But it's going to get even stronger. Whosoever abideth in him. If you are born again, child of God, then you are abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his word says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. It don't tell you, oh, you're going to commit sin and ask for forgiveness. It says, if you abide in him, you sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him or neither known him. That's why you're still committing your sins. You don't know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Uh-oh. What happened? I can commit my same old sin I done yesterday. That's what my church tells me. Because I can't live without sin in my life. Is that what God's word is telling you? For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy his work. Now, whosoever is born of God, are you born of God? Does not commit sin. For his seed, the Holy Spirit, is God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Yet our churches are telling you that you've got sin in your life. Everybody's still got sin in their life. But they have, they ain't going to heaven, and they're not born again. That one just told you, if you're born again, you don't sin. That you can't sin. Not be a child of God. In this, the children of God are manifesting. In other words, they are made to stand fast. And the children of the devil, whosoever doth not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. See, it don't take much for us to have sin in our life. Just not loving our brother will do it. Think about it. Now, come back here to verse 6. We'll pick back up there. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it list, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Think about that for just a moment. Everyone that's born of the Spirit. We're like the wind. Most people can't tell from where we come from or where we're going. Only those that belong to the Lord our God. Now, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Here we go again. Verse 11. Verily, verily. Pay attention. I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And we are finding more and more of that every day. People that are of the world out here don't want to talk to us. And especially if you're talking to them with the truth of God's word. Now, if you sit down and give them deception to make them think, well, things are all right. Now, you can just continue living your own way. But as long as you go and ask the Lord to forgive you, he'll just keep on doing it, and you'll be all right. Yeah, they'll hear that. But you see, that's deception. Now, 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What he's talking about there, back under the Mosaic law, when the people got to walking so bad, they were snakes that come among them. Poison serpents. And when they were bitten, they died. Now, God in his wisdom used that as kind of a pre-emphasis of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had Moses to make a brass serpent and to raise it on a pole. And when they were bitten, if they would look at that serpent on that pole, they'd be healed. just as we are today. When we look at Jesus on that cross, if we are his children, we can have what we need in our lives. Because he paid the price for anything we do, except for one. There is one sin you cannot be forgiven for. We've got a lot of people walking very close to that sin today. And I'm talking about a lot of them. And that is when we sin against the Holy Spirit. God's word tells you and I, you can curse the Father. You can curse God the Father and be forgiven. You can curse the Lord Jesus Christ and be forgiven. But to blaspheme the Holy Spirit is unforgivable. Look at the word blaspheme up sometime. So you know I'm not just handing you something. But that word means, that word blaspheme, the meaning of it means to reject, to deny his existence, or to curse him. Those three things is unforgivable. You don't talk against the Holy Spirit of God. We've got many of them out there today doing exactly that. They're denying your need of the Holy Spirit. The church don't even teach you about it. And that's a lot of the churches out there. You know, God wants us naming names and things that are not right. When he gives us something, he does. Now we're going to go back here to 1 Timothy. I told you all about this. I don't think I ever took you back there and showed you. And I want to make sure you know where it's at. 1 Timothy 4 chapter. And I'm going to read. We're going to be going through the first five verses. Now, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, talking about our day and time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now that's getting strong. Have we got a churches out there that's got doctrines of devils? Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, their conscience is gone. So they've been lied to and they are believing lies from these churches that are teaching contrary to the Word of God. Now here's the main one. The main church. This is why we need to be very careful where we go, things we do. Forbidding to marry. Uh-oh. You know a church that does that? Oh, yeah. The Catholic Church. Their priests can't marry. And commanding to abstain from meats. They do that also. They can't eat no meats, especially on Friday. which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You see, that's why we say grace, is because when you are a child of God and you thank God for that food, you bless that food, and you've made that food good, and that food ain't going to hurt you. Verse 4, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That's why we pray over our food. And you know, I know in my lifetime, I didn't know it at the time until afterwards. And I've ate food that was full. But because I had thanked God for it, it didn't make me sick. But I did find out later on that it was full when we will walk and say in the word of Almighty God, we can know beyond any doubt that we have eternal life. Now, will we go through trials and troubles? Yes. And we're told we will. And we'll do it many times in our lifetime. Because Satan wants you. If you're a child of God, Satan wants you. You're the one he's after. That one is walking in the evil out there. He's already got him. It's you he's after. Now, come back here. Verse 15, we stopped there with that serpent being lifted up. 15 tells us what it was all about, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, you don't get no plainer. 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't send him here to condemn us, but that the world through him might be saved. He sent him here to make a way so you and I have a way of salvation and a way of making heaven our home. He wasn't sent here to condemn us. We choose that according to the way we will live and what we will hear and whether we really or if we have just heard the word and paid no heed. Now, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's just how easy it is to miss heaven. Just don't believe in God. Don't believe in Jesus. Don't go to him and repent. That's all you have to do to miss heaven. And you can live a good life. You can be living a life and having basically everything you want in this life, physically. But when you don't believe in Jesus, you don't have heaven made as your home either. Everything and everyone has to go through him. We can't go around him, over him, or under him. Got to go through him. Every prayer goes through Jesus. We're told in God's word how to pray. He says, pray to me, your heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, and I will hear from heaven. And if you know I hear from heaven, then you know that you can have your wishes. Now, as long as your wishes, then your prayers are in line with God's word. You can go out here and pray for God to give you a Cadillac. He may give you a Model A Ford. You might wish for that Cadillac. And he may give you a Model A Ford. But if he does, it'll get you where you need to go. It'll get the job done. You can pray for $1 million. He may give you 100. But that 100 will get the job done. Because God knows. He knows all about you. He knows what you'll do with what he gives to you. A lot of times we don't even know. But he does. He knows what you'll do with it. Here's a little example here. Let's say he comes. You go down to the store. And you pick up one of these Kentucky Lottery tickets. And you win $1 million. What are you going to do with it? What will you do with that $1 million? Now, what will you do with it? Now, what you should do.
Pay your taxes.
Huh?
You have to pay the taxes on it.
Well, you're going to pay taxes, that's sure. You're going to pay that before you get it. But what are you going to do with what you've got left out of it? See, that money is God's, not yours, it's God's. May have been given to you. That was given to you because God allowed it to happen. It's to be used for his benefit. Now, can it buy some things you need? Yes. Nothing wrong with that. If you need some clothing, fine. If you need food, fine. If you need a place to stay, fine. But what is extra goes for his work. And he gets his first. You see, the government's going to take 41% of that. Then 10% of all of that, the whole million, not what the government left, but the whole million belongs to God. That's his. 10%. You see, this is why so many don't have anything today. They don't pay their tithes. And you know what God calls you when you don't pay your tithes? What? What's he called you? Robber and a thief. And that's why we don't have anything. I stayed in debt many, many, many years. Paycheck to paycheck. Borrowing, payback, paying with interest and all of this. And I started paying my tithes. And look what happened. God brought me out of debt. Don't owe nobody nothing except for lights and gas and just stuff that's monthly because that's the way they charge you. But as far as having to borrow money and all, I haven't had to yet. Now, does it mean I will never have to? No. I can't say that. But if I have to, you see that it's paid back. But he tells us not to be a borrower, but to be a lender. So I can't see him causing me to borrow. And I'm facing one of those ordeals right now. And I haven't borrowed it yet because I put it in his hands. I've got a hospital bill. And the only way I can handle it is I'd have to go to the bank and borrow money to pay it. Because I don't have that much money on my own. But I put it in his hands. And I haven't went and borrowed no money. Not yet. And I'm not planning on it. But you know, we need to always know who we are serving, who we're walking with. When we talk about loving our brothers, we are to love all mankind. We know that Jesus came here not to condemn the world, but that through him the world could be saved. In verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And we're seeing that all around us today, and it's growing worse and worse every day. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world. But they'd rather get out here and walk the ways of the world and with Satan and stay in darkness. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Well, all of us that walks with the Lord knows that those that are of the world out here don't like us at all. Our government right today is doing everything they can against us. And they won't do more yet. And they're working on it. Our own government right here in this land is working to bring the day on to where it will be against the law for me to preach a sermon like this. I'll be jailed and even given death. But you see, we can't hear that . And are they going to shut me up? No. No, they'll have to take this life from the earth. Because I'm not going to quit. They've already found that out here. Just like I told them, I wasn't closing my church doors. I was going to obey God rather than man. They told me I just need enough to do it. I told them, I said, the only thing I can tell you, just try me and see. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They don't want to go to Jesus today, for the most part. Now, yes, we do still have some out there that is in need of our help to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are looking for something. But for the most of them out there today, no, they don't even want it. And we'll close with this one. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The things we do through the day, everything we do as if we're doing it for God. We should be. But we don't do it, do we? Come on, do something. Right now. But most don't like. And you probably won't be. But you know me. I love all of you. I love every one of you. And don't want to do nothing to hurt nobody. But that's why I want to warn you. You too. You and your son. Let a woodpile keep you out of church. You used it as an excuse. That wood could have laid there for weeks or months. It should never have been used to keep you out of church. It hurts you all, really. How many times, Bobby, have you thought about that since you've done it? Don't lie to me. I know you've thought about it certain times, ain't you?
Stay back when you folks love your neighbors. They love you. Stay in the house.
Honey, I can't hear you.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Pretty bad when you got neighbors all around you. The women holler, oh, I can't get out there. I might get my hands dirty. And I get out there and do it. And they think I'm crazy. Then they say the wood stuff falls out. Don't you need to clean the mess up? Now that looks strange, you know? It hurts you, right?
You see, that's not what I'm talking about is when it gets, you're working it all day. But then when it gets time for church, it's time to lay that aside and go to church. Pick it back up the next time, the next day. You don't know the days that I have come to services when I didn't know really that I could get out the door. But I was not going to stay here as long as I could make it. And see, I knew that Bobby's had this on his mind. And he did, didn't he? And I knew it bothered him. You can't do that. You can't let anything keep you out of church. We all need this. We all need it. I kind of warm, didn't it?
It feels good.
Huh?
It feels good. Your bones hurt.
All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word tonight, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for a time to come together to study your word, to share with each other our hearts and our love for one another, but mainly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, watch over everyone who will hear this message. Work with them. Work with their families, Father. Safe in the hollow of your hand. Kenny Powers, Terry Coates, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Bobby and Millie Johnson, myself, Sue David Branson. Father, not only us, but our families, because we all have family members that are not walking right in thy sight. May the Holy Spirit work with them to help turn them, Father, from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. Now, Father, help us to stay right, to stay straight when we're separated, when we stand alone, except for you and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. It can get lonesome without others, other brothers with us. But we always know that you're there with us, that you love us, and that you watch over us and keep us. Keep us filled with that joy of knowing Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Give us the guidance we need, Father, day by day. And help us, each one, with our study of your word. Open our hearts and minds to be receptive. And give us that guidance. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
You still preaching at the big house?
Huh? You're
going to be high
and preaching? Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah. They're going 2 o'clock Tuesday. Because they know it now. They didn't know it. The boss didn't tell them. After telling me to come. She didn't tell him I was coming. So Tuesday they wasn't ready. James went over and eat Thanksgiving dinner with him. Be high.
We can show up here, didn't we?
Well, you wasn't supposed to show up here Thanksgiving. It's supposed to be the day before.
Then you talk to your family. They don't want
to Wednesday.
Talk to my family if I come to the church and I'm awake.
But that's why I changed it to Wednesday, so that everybody could be with their family on Thanksgiving. Because Thanksgiving is a holiday to make a holy day out of. You see, that is when our forefathers first came to this land, and they had their first meal with the inhabitants of this land, the Indians. The Indians was in on our first Thanksgiving.
Have you been passing church up there?
Huh?
Have you been passing that church up there, Akron?
I've been by there a couple of times. She's done that too. Another thing.
I mean, no, up there where I, up there with me.
Oh, no. I haven't been by there last couple of years.
Kelly Smith's wife told me last night, three people last night, the preachers. You understand this? How come the preachers won't get up to pray with people?
Mm-hmm.
They called me to do it. I get up and pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a phone call before I left. I prayed for Brenda Smith to beat lasers. Well, last night she told me her husband's a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't.
You talking about Kelly?
Yeah. She didn't ask him to pray for her. She called me up to the Lord put me on the hook. Well, I pray for her. So, Donald Hall's got to have open heart surgery tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. I'll pray for her. I told her, I said, I'll get everybody else to pray.
Yeah, no, I'll pray for her tonight.
Anyway, boy, I got ready to leave. Phone rang, was Kelly Smith. Pray for my wife. She's been down to Murray Merman Hardenberg all day. Well, why did he get up and go with her?
Mm-hmm.
And if he's got faith to be a preacher, he should. I don't understand why they say call any time. And I will say this for you. You're like me. You're a night owl. You will stay up too late, and you will pray for people.
Oh, well, yes.
But I'm just what I can't understand. Why is it when I say something? Why do these preachers tell you, call me any time, I'll pray with you. When you call, they won't answer your phone.
Now, you know, that's the thing. Now, I will tell you this. When I sleep, I am a heavy sleeper.
Well, I still wake you up.
When I'm asleep.
But I still can wake you up.
Well, that's the thing. If you get me awake, yes, I'll talk with you, I'll pray with you, do whatever. But sometimes I am hard to wake up
because
I sleep.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. But I never go to bed before midnight. Never. I'm never in bed for midnight.
He calls me and she'll say, sister, this, you pray for me. Brother Eric, he's sitting there telling me he's feeding his belly. He's eating, gaining weight. And I said, I asked my mother, I said, why ain't you praying for your wife? Yeah, I did.
Sure.
I might be in wrong fasting, but I sure be.
No.
Like I said, I don't walk around man, a woman, a preacher. If he needs me to tell him, I told him none of that. I said, I'm very quiet, keep praying for her. Right?
I'm trying.
And I want to do it, then Lord takes me off. I call you and check on you, right? I check on him. Hardhead Bobby Willby, I check on him.
When I go to visit this baby, I take my anointing oil. I anoint her and have prayer with her.
I pray for her day and night too.
Because I don't know when God will work.
But he is one.
And I know he will. And that's the thing. They asked me over there one day. They see me. Anoint her. And she comes to me and says, Miss Tony, what's that you put on her head? I told her, I said, anointing oil. She said, it's what? I said, anointing oil. Well, what's that for? I was explaining to her. She said, I don't feel too good. Would you anoint and pray for me? This is one of the workers there. I told her, I said, yes, if you really mean it. And she said, well, I do. I anointed her and prayed for her. It wasn't 10 minutes later, that sickness was gone.
Just like I told you about my cat. Somebody shot my boy cat, and he drove his leg. Sent back to life. It broke my heart. I got out and touched him. I prayed for him.
Mm-hmm.
I was crying. I looked up. I said, Jesus, you're the healer. And do you believe he can walk better than a teenager?
Well, sure.
God answered my prayers.
Yeah.
And I prayed to whoever shot him with a BB gun. I said, Lord, you know.
You see, this is where the church has got to get to. The church has got to get back to the point where the power of God is at work. And it's working. It has to work through the people. It's got to work through us.
Have you been down to Terry Bars lately?
No, it's been probably a couple of months.
See, my grandson, he's been mad at me. Oh,
no. He's gone. He ain't there no more.
I know. But he ain't spoke to me going on 3 years. On account of, you know, my truck was fixed down there. He said, I sent KD down there every day. I didn't send him in down there.
I didn't go every day.
Then I got blamed for Alex Stone. Said it. I told KD that he's retarded. I didn't tell you that, did I?
What?
Bobby told you, didn't he?
What?
Bobby never told you Alex Stone retarded.
Yeah, and I told Alex. So, you know, they were just lying to you because I told Alex it was Bobby Willoughby that told me.
Bobby said, Alex said to him, said, you and Millie need to keep your mouth shut.
And he said, well, I ain't retarded yet. He said, but I am thinking about it.
Bobby Willoughby told me he's going to retire.
Well, he ain't never worked nowhere. What's he going to retire from?
FBI.
Oh, yeah.
Just like he told me, I told him this. He told me his girlfriend got kids, he's got a husband. He wants to come down and live. I said, Bobby, I don't want to hear it. That is a sin. He said, wonder what KD said about it. I said, well, I'll tell you in front of KD. I said, it's a sin. You let a woman move in there with you. You got kids, got a husband, right?
Well, don't you have to have a husband or kids?
It's a sin.
Just to move in with him without marriage.
All right. I'm talking about taking him in front of KD, right? Right, yes. But I do. I do what the Lord says. He tells me to call and check on y'all. I pray for y'all day and night. And KD's kidding me. He's kidding me on grandma's side. He used to dance for my grandma. He's in his sister. Keeps it in.
I've danced for her quite a few times.
But James, like I said, my husband used to help everybody. And my kin folks, after he passed away, they don't want nothing to do with me. Because I can't get out there, you know, and help them. You know what I mean? Like he did. And they done with me. Well, I don't care because I got Jesus and they pay a whole thing on me. Amen? But you try to talk to them about going to church, they hang a phone upon me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't.
No. When I get home, I'll call Brenda. If she made it home, then I'll call you back.
Who?
Kelly's wife.
Oh, Kelly's wife.
He should have went with
her. Yeah, he should have went with her.
Am I right or wrong?
No, he should have, yes.
So, Bobby, you tell KD if we bring our kids here.
Well, I will be praying for all, in fact, all three of them. And I do. I pray for Kelly. You know I do. For him and his wife all the time. And all. Because, see, he denied being the one to walk into church over here where I was at.
I'm all right.
And he denied, you know, walking in there raising that fuss. And I know it was him. I knew the truck when it pulled in.
I'm all right.
And he come in shorts. Come in, told me. He told me, he said, what do you mean you'll teach me how to preach? You can't teach me how to preach. I told him, I said, I didn't tell you I'd teach you how to preach. I told him, I said, I did tell you that I might give you a chance to preach. And I did. I told him, if he wanted to come to church, that there might be a chance that he could preach. I'd have to find out first what kind of man he was.
See, now, he quit a prayer for a while. He went over on Shoemaker Road where that woman preached. That preached in a prayer now.
Yeah.
He listened to her all the time. He brought Brenda there where I went. After all, he went away. He ate her up. Now he don't want nothing to do with her.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, now, most all of them that was going there with Eric, they're not tempting.
No, but when she stepped down, all her family was going up for all them cars you see. Remember up at the church where I live?
Yeah.
Well, you won't see the church for people. But he ain't going to be there soon.
Well, I went by that one day. In fact, that last month. I went by there. Church had let out. And they was all standing out front. They only had one man in the group. They don't remember.
But you what?
Well, you all take care. Be careful.
I'll find out from her. I'll
be careful going home, Bobby.
I'll call you and let you know.
All right.
And you be good. Keep Marley, if it's just me, honey, then my dad will eat me.
Yeah, good night.
Hey, if he gets me,
I hear you.
He says I'm mean, so he's mean too, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling great with you.
God bless you,
sweetheart. Thank you so much.
Good night,
Marlene. Good night, Marlene.